our collective nightmare where we explore the absurdity of existence in this great land of ours. Today's feature, the DeSantis Family Saga, a surreal tale of ambition, scandal, and political cannibalism that makes one wonder if reality itself has given up on us. Once upon a time, Ron DeSantis was the bright star in the Republican galaxy, blazing with presidential ambitions. But like Icarus flying too close to the sun, or maybe just a Florida man who thought wrestling an alligator was a good idea, his dreams have come crashing down. Now he finds himself struggling not only for relevance, but also for survival in his own backyard. In this latest episode of our political soap opera, Ron and Casey DeSantis are embroiled in a funding scandal involving $10 million mysteriously rerouted through their Hope Florida initiative. This program is supposed to help people get off government assistance by connecting them with faith-based charities. Instead, it seems to be helping line political pockets and fund anti-marijuana campaigns, because nothing says hope quite like using settlement money from Medicaid overbilling to fight against personal freedoms. The kicker, the investigation into these financial shenanigans wasn't even launched by Democrats, it's Republicans turning on their own like some twisted Shakespearean tragedy set in a swamp. Imagine that, GOP lawmakers accusing their once-favored son of wire fraud and money laundering while Trump allies gleefully fan the flames from the sidelines. As donors flee and operatives refuse to answer calls, Ron and Casey attempt damage control by cozying up to President Trump himself, a man who would probably sell you snake oil while telling you it's holy water. But alas, their efforts seem about as effective as trying to put out a wildfire with a garden hose. Meanwhile, Casey's aspirations for her own political future hang under a cloud darker than any Florida thunderstorm. Even her most loyal supporters advise waiting until things blow over before launching another campaign. Advice delivered quietly because nobody wants to poke the bear or whatever creature lurks beneath those perfectly coiffed appearances. As if this circus needed more clowns, we have lobbyists galore circling around Hope Florida like vultures eyeing roadkill. Contracts awarded left and right without so much as batting an eyelash at conflicts of interest or ethical concerns, because why bother when your moral compass broke ages ago? And let us not forget, UniteUs, the health tech company whose very existence seems designed solely for irony, promoting diversity while aligning themselves with policies that crush such ideals faster than you can say political hypocrisy. So here it is, folks. A glimpse into what happens when power becomes its own justification, when principles become optional accessories discarded at convenience, when reality morphs into something so absurdly bleak that laughter feels like surrendering sanity altogether. Welcome back, America. You've outdone yourself yet again.
A springtime, the birds are chirping, the flowers are blooming, and white people are freaking out about their real estate portfolios. Welcome to another episode of White People Problems, where we explore the existential crises that arise when your biggest dilemma is whether or not to buy a second home in LA. So, Scott Price, the real estate agent with a name that sounds like he should be selling you a luxury sedan, got a call from his client backing out of a house deal 2 days before closing. Why? Because the guy was worried about layoffs at his company. Imagine having the privilege to worry about losing your job while also contemplating buying a house in Los Angeles. Talk about first world problems. Apparently, 14% of home purchase agreements were canceled recently because people are spooked by President Trump's on-again, off-again tariffs. Yes, folks, thanks to our commander-in-chief's love for economic roulette, even the stock market is doing its best impression of a roller coaster ride at Six Flags. Now, there's this concern over mortgage rates spiking due to Trump's tariff announcements. It's causing first-time homebuyers to clutch their pearls and reconsider investing in fixer-uppers. I mean, heaven forbid they have to live in something that doesn't come with granite countertops and stainless steel appliances straight out of an HGTV special. And let's talk about those poor souls who had their nest eggs tied up in stocks only for them to tumble faster than you can say Dow Jones. They're now being advised by financial planners to be more conservative with investments, because apparently buying avocado toast futures isn't as stable as it used to be. Meanwhile, older homeowners are cashing out their stock holdings and diving into real estate because they see it as a sound investment alternative. I bet when you're retired and bored of playing golf every day, flipping houses becomes your new hobby. So there you have it, white people problems at their finest. A world where economic uncertainty means holding off on buying that third vacation home or deciding between marble or quartz for your kitchen island. Stay tuned next time when we'll discuss how too many options at Whole Foods can lead to decision fatigue.
Welcome to your daily dose of dystopia, where the absurdity of our new normal is served with a side of irony. Today, we bring you the latest in Florida's quest to become the poster child for a society that's forgotten what compassion looks like. In a bold display of unity, or perhaps coercion, nearly 800 people were arrested in a spectacular showcase of what happens when state and federal forces join hands for a massive, multi-agency immigration enforcement crackdown. This four-day fiesta of arrests was hailed as highly successful because nothing screams success like tearing families apart and sending shockwaves through immigrant communities. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis couldn't be prouder. He lauded this operation as an exemplar of cooperation with President Trump's administration. You know, because nothing says big results quite like instilling fear in communities and turning local police into de facto immigration agents. The message from Florida is clear. If you're not on board with playing icy agent, prepare to face consequences. Local leaders are strong-armed into compliance under threat of removal from office. A delightful twist that ensures everyone gets to play along whether they want to or not. Even universities have joined the fun, signing agreements with ICE and adding another layer of anxiety for international students already grappling with revoked visas. Because who needs an education when you can have anxiety instead? Meanwhile, in places like Fort Myers, city councils initially resisted joining this dystopian dance, but quickly changed their tune after receiving stern warnings from the Attorney General. The lesson? Resistance is futile. Conformity is mandatory. Not content with just terrorizing immigrants within its borders, Florida has helped inspire federal crackdowns on any local officials daring enough to think they might prioritize human decency over blind obedience. Judges and magistrates across the country are now finding themselves under investigation for such radical acts as helping undocumented immigrants avoid arrest. A clear violation in our brave new world where empathy is evidently criminalized. So sit back and enjoy the show as we watch our society continue its descent into chaos. After all, there's nothing quite like watching a train wreck unfold in slow motion while pretending it's all perfectly normal.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the great mysteries of life, like why a man who once sold steaks now sells executive orders. Today's topic, President Donald Trump, back in office with poll numbers that are, shall we say, less than sparkling. According to CNN's latest poll by SSRS, Trump's approval rating at 100 days into his second term is lower than any president in seven decades. Yes, even lower than his own first term, an impressive feat if you consider that most people improve with practice. But here we are in 2025, and it seems Americans are still trying to figure out if they're living in a political thriller or a sitcom. Trump's approval has sunk across key demographics like women and Hispanic Americans. It turns out that when you promise to shake things up, people expect more than just shaking their heads in disbelief. Who knew? His handling of economic issues has also seen better days, or at least days where fewer people were worried about affording groceries without taking out a second mortgage. Inflation is up, tariffs are down, and apparently so is public confidence. On foreign affairs, Trump's strategy seems to be inspired by the philosophy of keep your friends close and your enemies closer, but maybe not too close. After all, social distancing was a thing for a while. Interestingly enough, Trump scores well on gender identity issues, with a narrow majority approving his approach. Perhaps this is because he's managed to reduce an entire spectrum of human experience into two categories, male and female. A simplification as comforting as it is baffling. But let's not forget Vice President J.D. Vance's contribution, a man whose job approval rating matches Trump's at 41%. Together, they form quite the dynamic duo, one part businessman turned politician and one part author turned vice president. If only their policies were as compelling as their career changes. As we reflect on these poll numbers and what they mean for humanity, or at least for America, we're left with some existential questions. Is popularity really just a fleeting illusion? Are approval ratings simply another way to measure disappointment? And most importantly, will politics ever make sense? In the end, perhaps George Mastrodonato from Santa Fe put it best when he likened Trump's presidency to Yosemite Sam blasting off guns wildly. Some shots hit the target, others just hit the ceiling fan. So next time you're pondering life's big questions or wondering how many ways there are to define success or lack thereof, remember this, even presidents have bad hair days, and sometimes those last 4 years.
The capitalist's fever dream. In the grand theater of American politics, where the stage is set by the almighty dollar, President Donald Trump has once again taken center stage with his latest act, a tariff-fueled spectacle that promises prosperity but delivers only chaos. It's a performance worthy of Shakespearean tragedy, with Trump casting himself as both hero and villain in this capitalist fever dream. The script was predictable. With a flourish, Trump unveiled his Liberation Day tariffs, a bold move to reshape global trade dynamics through sheer force of will. But in reality, it was nothing more than a gamble with the nation's economic stability at stake. The stock market responded like a wounded beast, slashing through retirement savings and leaving business owners to contemplate ruin. Yet, amidst the financial carnage, Trump remained steadfast in his belief that tariffs are the magic wand to solve all ills. For decades, America has been sold on the illusion that economic might equates to national strength. And so here we find ourselves, entrapped in an endless cycle of consumerism, where profit reigns supreme over common sense. Trump's tariffs are merely another symptom of this greater malady, a desperate attempt to reclaim past glories by resurrecting outdated industrial dreams. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick paints a picture of factory floors bustling with workers screwing together iPhones, an absurd vision akin to building castles in the sky when automation looms large over every industry. Meanwhile, economists scoff at such fantasies. They know that high-tech factories demand skills far beyond what most can offer without significant investment in education and training, investments unlikely to materialize under an administration obsessed with quick wins. And so we watch as foreign relations unravel like cheap thread from a bargain bin suit, the price paid for Trump's reckless brinkmanship on the world stage. Allies turn wary eyes towards other partners, while adversaries seize opportunities left by America's self-inflicted wounds. Back home, consumers brace themselves for sticker shock as prices soar across sectors, from cars and computers to bananas and blue jeans, all thanks to what experts derisively label Trump's taxes. The irony is palpable. Voters who propelled him into office seeking relief from inflation now face its specter anew under his tariff regime. Yet even amid mounting evidence against him, markets teetering on recessionary edges, allies alienated, domestic industries hamstrung, Trump clings tenaciously to his narrative of triumph through turmoil. A masterstroke indeed if one measures success solely by headlines, rather than tangible outcomes or long-term viability. As pundits dissect each twist and turn within this unfolding drama, each tweet-induced market swing or diplomatic faux pas, they miss sight of capitalism's relentless march toward self-destruction beneath it all, growth pursued at any cost, until there remains nothing left but ashes, upon which new empires will rise once more, or perhaps not at all, if we continue down this path unchecked by reason or restraint. In truth lies our greatest folly, that despite knowing better, or perhaps because we do, humanity persists along roads paved exclusively with profits instead of principles, a journey destined ultimately toward collapse, unless diverted soon enough away from such perilous courses, charted solely upon greed-driven maps, leading nowhere good ever again.